We read from God's word this morning, if we may, from Psalm 34. And I want to read the whole psalm, if I may. Underneath the heading of the psalm, it says this: a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And this is David's psalm, Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his eyes are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. We thank God for his word this morning. I want to turn you to, if I may, to Psalm 34. And I want to speak to you on verse 4. Why am I doing this? Well, there's a particular reason for this, and I want to share that with you this morning, if I may. This may surprise you, but preachers need to hear and to take note of the ministry they give. And I'm no exception. Because when a preacher of the word says to himself as he preaches, well, this is for them, but it's not for me, he's on dangerous territory. No, because that smacks of hypocrisy. So it's helpful to a church and to a congregation to actually see the word of God being fruitful and mirrored in the life of the preacher himself. So it's not just his words that are powerful, but his life. Now, I knew that quite extensively when I was a pastor in a settled ministry. It's not often seen in an itinerant ministry that I'm engaged in now. It's fairly obvious why that is. He's not around. He preaches one Sunday and you don't see him for another 2 months. He comes, he preaches, he goes. But for a pastor, in a settled ministry, he's seen, he's observed every week. Because of this, the scripture ought to be effective and fruitful, and evidently so in his life. I remember being encouraged with a comment that Robin Dowling once gave me, who then was pastor at Kew Baptist Church. He was sharing with me some encouragements. He said, "Jeff, I've been really encouraged this week." "Oh, well, tell me, Robin." He says, "Well, one of my oldest members had a word with me." He said, "You've been with us 9 years, have you, Robin?" "Yes." "Can I say this? We've seen you grow. We've seen you grow." Well, that was encouraging. And that always ought to be the case. But why am I saying this as I introduce the message this morning? Well, I'm preaching to myself. And you're welcome to listen in. Why is this? Well, I've been suffering from most of this year with what can only be called, I suppose, as low-level grade of anxiety, particularly with concerns over the family. Another word for anxiety, I suppose, is fear or fears. And it's invariably that I must turn to this psalm to speak to myself and to speak to you this morning. Verse 4 would be our text this morning. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So I want to speak on this subject then this morning, the answer to all fear. This is written by David in a trying and difficult circumstance for him. He was in a situation where his life was desperately at risk. He was in the clutches of an enemy king whose name was Achish, sometimes known as Abimelech. They're one and the same people. Abimelech is the title for Achish, King Achish. We read of this in 1 Samuel 21. And to avoid further difficulty, David pretended to be mad. He pretended to be insane. And it so disgusted Achish, he dismissed him. "Get this madman out of here." But that was the means which God used to save him. And back in the cave, I think David would write this psalm to thank God for that wonderful release and deliverance. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When I consider the danger I was in, I sought God and he delivered me." His life was on the line. What had happened? Well, he was beset by fears. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." This is a remarkable psalm if you look at it in detail. I haven't got the time to do that this morning, but at your leisure, read this psalm and underline in your Bible the time when fear is mentioned. Fear is mentioned here. "He delivered me from all my fears." And yet, in another sense, that's a negative, if you like. Fear is used in a positive sense in other parts of this psalm. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him." Not in a slavish, anxiety-ridden fear, but in a confidence, assurance that God was in control. And Again, this word fear, rather than the slavish fear of which is mentioned in verse 4, is repeated again and again. Look at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's not anxiety. This is this reverential awe and respect of God. I will teach you. Ah, this is what I needed to listen to. In the state of some anxiety that I had this year, I needed to fear the Lord, not to embrace my own carnal fears, my apprehensions and anxieties and worries. Again, it's such a wonderful psalm. Well then, I may be speaking to someone here, and you can identify with some of my concerns I've had this year with this low-level grade of anxiety. I've learnt a lot, really. What do I do when I sense all resources have gone and no avenue of escape and all the props are removed? Not easy. It's not easy. And this is when we're called to prove the reality of our faith. Has this happened to you? What will you or I be like in a crisis? Because such times are revealing times, my friends, aren't they? Have you come to the Lord? Have you trusted in Jesus? Are you experiencing today his freedom? And that's a key word in the ministry today, the word freedom. Because I want to give, as it were, the ministry both morning and evening messages on this sub-theme that I've entitled Experiencing True Freedom. I've looked at this psalm and it's touched my heart profoundly. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Whether it's my personality or not, I don't know. It probably is. Ask my wife. She will tell you. One thing that I've done this year that I haven't done for many years is write a journal. And it's just my own spiritual walk and my blow-by-blow events, as it were. But I look back to 1995, when I did a journal then, when I was at Hope Chapel, and I remember one paragraph I wrote. I've got 10 worries about the family, and none of them were realised. None of them were. So a bit of a waste of time, wasn't it? Yes, it certainly was. Have I learnt the lesson? No, I don't think I have. But then again, I don't think any of us have. We are trying to, but here, how we need the Lord and how we need to experience true freedom that Jesus offers. That's a great burden of my heart. So, some things to think about. 5 things to think about. When fearful, pray. When fearful, pray. What a wonderful insight we have to prayer in this psalm, haven't we? Amazing. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Yes, he's saying that because he's been free now from the clutches of Achish, who was going to kill him. But he's free and he's looking back and saying, thank you, Lord, thank you. And the time of his captivity, when everything was going wrong, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There in Cave Adullam, David would reflect on this and praise him, praise the Lord. So when you or I are distracted by anxiety, what are we to do? Well, we are to pray. We are to pray. We are to seek God. I've had a habit of waking at 4:30 in the morning. Why 4:30? I don't know. But regular as clockwork. So what do? Rouse my wife with a cup of tea? No. I pray. And I've been blessed by that discipline. I sought the Lord. This must mean, mustn't it? It must mean earnest, focused, deliberate prayer. Have you ever had a situation where you felt that unless God intervenes now, all is hopeless? Have you ever had that? Well, I have, in the ministry, particularly when situations were so pressing on me, I just couldn't believe that there's a way out. And yet, my friends, there always was. There always was. So things are never hopeless. Never. Don't ever think, and don't let your mind tell you, this is hopeless. No, it's not. It's not. Because our God is in control. Rejoice again in the Lord always. Yes, even in the times of anxiety and fretful care, always. And again I say, rejoice. So do we justify David's feigned madness? No, we don't. Because in all things, God works for the good. If he didn't feign madness, he still would have extricated David from that dilemma. And he would have saved him without the deceit, I'm convinced. But this was the means that God used. And we're not imputing any wrong motives to the Lord in saying that. So the first thing, when fearful, pray. And secondly, when God hears, rejoice. Let us remind ourselves that when we pray to the living God. We are praying to the living God. And as a result, he hears us and he answers us, my friends. How blessed we are to have God as our Saviour if we know him. Would you know him in a saving sense? To know God as a prayer-hearing God in your life. Oh, that's amazing, but wonderful. And that is for the believer and for the believer alone. But it can be yours if you trust in Jesus. Prayer offered to him to answer must desire an answer. And we offer that prayer by faith. Are we expecting God to answer our prayers? Yes, we are. And when he does answer our prayers, what then? We're to praise him. We're to thank him. We're to give him the glory. And thanking him for the freedom we have in Jesus for those who know him. So when God answers, we praise and we worship him. This is a psalm of call to praise and thank God. Very moving to read this. Verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Oh, yes. And saved him out of all his troubles. That's very moving and touching. David's heart's very full. It overflows with praise. I wonder, has the Lord dealt with you like this? And have you remembered? And have you praised him with a heart of overflowing? How often have we come to church with anxious hearts? How often we've come to church with fearfulness? When I woke up with some, as I said, low-grade anxiety, I set myself the task of saying, I'm not going to leave my study until my heart is right. And so, 2 or 3 hours, Bible meditation, hearing God's word preached, reading the scripture, meditating, praying, until I felt my heart being warmed and myself being rebuked. And this happened often day after day. So, when God hears, rejoice. And thirdly, when rejoicing, remember. When rejoicing, remember. God doesn't take, or rather, David doesn't take the Lord for granted here. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Oh, it's a different use of the word here, isn't it? This is not anxious, fretful care. This is the promise of the Lord encamping around those who fear him and delivers them. And he is there to help. This is a very remarkable expression here. The angel of the Lord. It's known in theological terms as a theophany. It is a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is wonderful because in the Great Commission, this wonderful passage, the end of Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with his believing people. Said one commentator, we little know how many providential deliverances we owe to those unseen hands which are charged to bear us up lest we dash our foot against the stone. How often has the Lord delivered you? Delivered me? I tell you, my friends, for me, time without number. Time without number. Well, yes, we thanked God then, but do we now remember those times? This is where my journal has become so useful. When fear pressed in and anxiety dogged my steps, seeking the Lord for deliverance, it being given, writing this up and looking back over the months has been a great encouragement. So, those who are believers here, can I remind you this, that you are secure. You are secure in Christ. So rejoice in it and remember it. I was at Hope Chapel yesterday with my wife for the anniversary, and it brought back a lot of memories, very much so. Next year will be 20 years since we left Hope to go to Highbury. And that was an event in and of itself, because we were going to a church the polar opposite of the church at Hope. And what were we to do? We were trusting God and look to him. We certainly left our comfort zone, that's for sure. But so many Christians are living cautious lives, aren't they? They're looking over their shoulder and asking, what if this happens? What if that happens? This year is a special year for my family and I. It's 50 years since I first had the call to ministry in April 1967. And in December 1967, Christine Newbon, who I didn't know, my wife, left the Exclusive Brethren, which was an amazing event. I met her 2 months later. But before she left, her brother had given her a tape machine to listen to ministry by Dr. Lloyd Jones. And this really prepared her to eventually leave the Brethren in December of 67. And she had some Brethren members come to listen to Dr. Lloyd Jones's preaching on tape. And some came to listen. One lady came who was very, very nervous. Very nervous. She was fearful lest any in the Brethren would see her leave. And so she disguised herself, furtively leaving as if no one was watching this deed that she'd done. It listened to ministry on the tape. Such was the bondage within that particular cult, sadly. How many Christians are living furtive lives? Fearful lives. I don't want to live a fearful life, do you? Amen. I don't. I really don't. Cautious. Do you want to be cautious? I don't want to be reckless. I want to be risk-taking. There's a world of difference between the two, isn't there? Those who are furtive, that are always looking over their shoulder, failing to exercise faith, invariably are stunted in their spiritual life. Don't you or I be. Let's battle against this as battle we must, trusting in the Lord and looking to Him for that true fear, that this speaks of here. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. Oh, thank you, Lord. That is true. That is true. But is it true of you and true of me? I hope so. So the third thing, when rejoicing, remember. That's the third thing. When rejoicing, remember. Here's a fourth. And when remembering, share. Share. When remembering, share. Well, David is doing this in writing the psalm, isn't he? Of course. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 8. Blessed is the one who trusts in Him. Yes, yes. And hear this statement. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For there's no want to those who fear Him. That's not slavish fear. That is spiritual, reverential awe. It's a world of difference between anxious care and anxious fear. This fear is. It's the real antidote to anxiety. Fear the Lord, you His saints. For there's no want to those who fear Him. And David, in remembering God's deliverance, is sharing this. Is sharing this. Taste and see. Well, this is for you, Christian. This is for me. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. David's proved this for himself. Has he proved this for you? That's a point I want to say. Has he proved it for you? And this is where, as we say, the rubber hits the road. We're not talking about things which don't mean much. They mean everything. Because He means everything. He means everything. Now David has remembered and praised God, and he's now sharing with a community of saints. And he's saying this, trust in the Lord. And there's no want to those who seek Him. Fear Him. Live consciously in His presence. And all believers who know this for themselves experience the great loving kindness of the Lord. And they're to share this to the encouragement of others. And I'm to share this, the lessons by God's grace which I've learnt. We wouldn't wish this year over again, quite honestly. There was a time when all four family members, one after the other, in hospital. Yes, well, unbelievable, but it's true. A full set, you may ask, and you may say. But there we are. The last thing in the world is I didn't want to lose my footing and break 8 ribs and a collarbone. That was not what I was looking for. No. But it seemed as if God was saying to me, come ye apart and rest a while. Yeah. And thank you, Christine, for helping me. She wasn't well enough to really to help me, but she did. And so God has been good, and we give him glory and praise. And another, we're sharing that, not to draw attention to ourselves, rather to draw attention to him, amen, to glorify his name. So here is the fourth thing. When remembering, share. And the fifth and last is this. When sharing, be humble. There are those who like the sound of their own voice, of course. We need to be on what I call pride watch. And so we have these words in verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, save such as have a contrite spirit. This is a way of blessing, and this is a way of fruitfulness. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, God will not despise. Have you ever seen someone full of pride and arrogance and conceit? Well, you know that person doesn't really love. And if in ministry, will never be fruitful. Never will be. We need to bear in mind always this, that our Heavenly Father loves us, cares for us. He really does. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I can say to that verse, amen. Amen. Because those who are in Christ, my friends, are truly free and truly delivered by God's grace. I want to ask you this. Has the Lord Jesus intervened in your life to bring you true freedom? True freedom that fills the soul with his presence. And if anyone here is not a Christian, you're thinking, should I? Why am I halting? Why am I not committing myself? Well, today is a day of commitment for you, therefore, to prove God that he's willing to save you and to receive you and to free you, And then God will be your defense forever. May it be so for all of us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love and mercy to us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you and give we praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be ours now and evermore. Amen. Amen.